97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is
the Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree. Listen to both sides.
This,
let's get it on,
is the Mark Cox Morning Show.
All right, good morning to you. Welcome into Friday the 13th. Happy that you're along for the ride here. We got a big, still a big couple hours coming up for you. If you've missed any of it, you can always download the podcast on the Odyssey app or, of course, 971talk.com. Anywhere you download your podcast, you can find the Mark Cox Morning Show. We appreciate that. Coming up, we're going to talk to J.J. Carafano from the Heritage Foundation. I want to get his take on what's going on over in Israel, the latest on that, because it's become a little bit of a political hot potato, obviously, in this election year. We have got John Fabricator joining us in the next hour, about 8:20. We're going to get him on the line. He is a retired ICE field office director, and he's talking about this Venezuelan gang problem that's popped up around the country right now in you know, Miami, Florida, Oklahoma. I mean, it's all over the place, and it relates directly to this open border that we've had under the Harris-Biden administration. So we're going to talk a little bit more with him at 8:20 about what, if anything, is being done or can be done about that. How big is the threat? We'll get to that for you at about 8:20. But right now, I tell you, there's a movie that's at the top of my list to see. Maybe this weekend I'm going to get out there to see that. And then, of course, that is the movie about Ronald Reagan. I have been a child of the Reagan Revolution since I first saw him speak in Cincinnati, Ohio in about 1979. So the movie is in theaters now. And we're fortunate enough to have Robert Davi with us this morning, actor extraordinaire from Hollywood. Robert, welcome into the show. How are you?
Hey, Mark. Thank you so much. Great to be here and talk to you.
You know,
your friends in St. Louis.
Yeah, I have to drop names because I remember interviewing you in person at CPAC a couple of years ago. We had an opportunity to talk about some of the projects you were working on at the time. One was on Hunter Biden, wasn't it?
I directed the film My Son Hunter, which people should see. It's like The Wolf of Wall Street. And it's all there. I actually got Epoch Times and some other places called it a masterpiece. And, of course, the left-wing media said there was no laptop.
Right. I mean, you were breaking news there to the mainstream media. They didn't want to admit it. And then finally, 5 years later, they admitted that the laptop was real.
Yeah. You know, and they want to talk about, you know, look, it's so insidious what's happening in our country today with the media, with Hollywood, with the left. It's insidious. And with Merrick Garland's joke yesterday of his speech, I wanted to say to him, what about the 51 Intel people that said there was no laptop? What about Russian collusion of Adam Schiff? What about the Steele dossier? This guy's full of garbage.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. I played that bite a little earlier where he said it's dangerous to suggest the DOJ is taking sides, even as we see the indictments of Donald Trump in you know, four different places around the country and late night raids on his Mar-a-Lago estate. I mean, it's just so obvious to this guy who may well have been a Supreme Court justice if we hadn't been lucky.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, Reagan went through the same thing. Reagan understood what was happening since the 1940s in Hollywood with the Communist Party infiltrating. Russia at the time in the 1920s put more money into creating useful idiots in America than anywhere else in the world. And now the CCP, there's a book called Mao's America. I don't know if you've, by Z. Van Fleet, who lived through the Cultural Revolution, of which this Tim Walz had gone to China 30 times, whatever it is. Loving it. It's a frightening time for Americans.
Robert,
a frightening time. They don't know history.
Well, I was going to say, Robert, this is Kim. You know, it's just so unusual and refreshing to hear someone like you in Hollywood who's speaking out and supporting conservative values, because so often you hear about, you know, people like George Clooney who were running out and hosting these big fundraisers for, at the time, Joe Biden and now Kamala Harris. It's like you're canceled if you come out and say that you're conservative.
That's absolutely what happens. They will diminish you. They'll diminish your reach in social media. They will blacklist you. You know, there was a blacklist in the 1950s in Hollywood because there were communists in our government and in entertainment. There were tremendous lies being told. And so today it's reversed. People that are conservative that want to save America are the ones that are getting shut down and reprimanded and punished. And George Clooney, look, he's an Obama. Obama used him pulled the coup on Joe Biden. They had to get a Hollywood celebrity like George Clooney to write for the New York Times an opinion piece saying that Biden was out of touch. You mean to tell me they didn't know this beforehand? They knew it. They knew what they were going to do. This was all part of their strategy, part of their plan.
Wow.
Make no mistake about it. And if you don't think so, you're underestimating the agitprop that the left uses, that they've understood since the 1930s. My mentor was a woman named Stella Adler, the greatest acting teacher of all time. And she introduced me to Erwin Piscator, who based his theater, a political theater, in Germany on Marxism. And he created a theater called the Agitprop, Propaganda Agitation.
Mm-hmm.
These guys have taken it to a new level, as we saw in the debate the other night. It's disgusting. Disgusting how they should not go. Somebody has to speak out. And I get hurt career-wise for it, but I can't stop. I cannot do this. I have to be honest to myself. And Reagan was honest to himself. Reagan was a person that fought the Communist Party in Hollywood since 1946,
yeah,
when he went to a meeting with Ida Lupino at Ida Lupino's house, who was like the Meryl Streep of a day, of the Communist Party using a union to infiltrate Hollywood. And William Holden brought him that. And Reagan spoke to that community. And years later, Sterling Hayden said he was a one-man wrecking crew of the Communist Party in Hollywood.
Yeah.
That was the action of the Godfather.
Very true. And thank you for all that you're doing on behalf of the truth. So we appreciate that. Tell me a little bit about the film. I mean, I haven't seen it yet. It's high on my list. And despite the mainstream media trying to beat it down, I mean, suppress it, I should say, from getting many headlines, it has done very well at the box office.
Yes. Well, it's got a 98% positive audience rating, and the rest of it, the critics, as they did to the film I directed, My Son Hunter, they berate it. They berate it because it's not part of their agenda. So they're frightened about that because it echoes what's happening in the world today. It echoes a lot of what happened to Trump today. You know, I was an adult when Reagan was there, you know, and I remember him being berated, being underestimated, being made fun of when he said the Star Wars defense, and which came out of a conversation, actually, from Donald Trump's uncle, John Trump, who, when Nikola Tesla died, and he was doing, I come from Long Island, he was doing experiments in Wardenclyffe on Long Island about energy machines, free energy. And when he died in a hotel in New York City, the FBI and CIA were in the same hotel on the same floor. And when he died, they confiscated all his writings and they brought it to MIT, the head of physics, a man named John Trump, Donald's uncle. And he was in the office when Reagan gave his uncle the Medal of Freedom. And people underestimate, you know, again, the way they did Reagan, they do the same thing to Donald Trump. They demonized it. Only now it's more vitriolic because Trump was loved by Hollywood.
Yes.
I was there with many people that said, Donald's fantastic. I read the other deal. He's great here. I want buildings like him. He's the best there is. You got to understand. You know, you have to have Donald here. This is when he was a businessman. He went into the fray of politics, and Trump has not changed his you could watch interviews with Oprah, with Larry King, with other people 30 years ago, telling him we're getting ripped off by NATO, we're getting ripped off by different countries. We're not, you know, he foresaw all of this. He was against the Iraqi war, which I bought weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah.
But there was none. There was none. I want to ask these people that go to Ukraine, was there weapons? What's going on? You know, and anyway, go see the Reagan movie because it echoes a lot of what's happening today. And
well,
it shows you the love affair between him and Nancy and the great performance by John Voight and Dennis Quaid and Penelope Ann Miller and others.
Looking forward to seeing that and your role in it as well. Robert Dobby, thank you for your time.
Thank you. I play a Russian. I play Leonid Brezhnev, a small little part, but it was fun to play, and I researched him fully.
And we'd love to have you back sometime for a longer conversation. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, take care of yourself. Robert Dobby there is great. That was a pretty good Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That really was. Too, you know? He's got some great accents. And I know we were running out of time, but I wanted to ask him, I wonder how many people, other Hollywood stars he speaks with, who say, I feel the same way you do, but I can't be outspoken like you are.
Right.
There have to be a lot more people.
Who knows how much, this guy's a great actor, and he's been in a lot of movies. And who knows how many more movies he might have been in had these directors not known his political persuasion.
Yeah, right? He said he's been impacted.
He's been blacklisted
mob.
By him, for sure. By the way, remember this from Arnold Schwarzenegger real quick here?
Arnold.
Hold on. Here it is. Wait for
no.
it.
No. Screw your freedom.
Screw your freedom.
One of my favorite from Arnold Schwarzenegger. All right, quick break here. JJ Carafano, almost called him John. Jim Carafano coming up right after the break.
We'll be back.
And understand what's at stake on that. 45 million Americans are insured through the Affordable Care Act. And he's going to end it based on a concept. And take us back to when insurance companies had the power to deny people with pre-existing conditions.
You know, I was born in the South. South Bronx.
Welcome to the jungle. All right, we've got Jim Carafano from the Heritage Foundation on. And Jim, that bite was from yesterday, but I really played it because I wanted to Kamala Harris soundbite there and to get your feedback on the foreign relations aspect of the debate the other night. Did you learn anything?
I did. So okay. There was a book once called The Bodyguard of Lies, and it was a book about protecting the ultra secret, which was the, you know, we broke the German code so we could. So I feel like the Harris campaign is the bodyguard of lies, except they're the lies to protect the lying. So blaming Trump for the withdrawal from Afghanistan is beyond ludicrous. I mean, there's such a false narrative. And look, maybe I have an advantage because I actually know the people that were involved in the policy in both administrations. And,
right.
I know that what we're saying was an absolute lie. Trump's role in NATO, Ukraine, I mean, it's all just a bunch of lies. And so I think you have to pick through to, you know, I'm not a Republican, I'm a Democrat, I'm not a dog in the fight. You have to pick through to find the truth when she talks.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's gotten that bad.
And trying to play both sides on the Israel thing, I'm not quite sure how you can do that. Kim did earlier, and I think she's going to talk about it again here in a little while, a poll talking about the Democrat support among Jews in this country, and I have a lot of Jewish friends, and I've had this conversation with them on many occasions. If you look at the facts of history in the past 4 years and the support that was given back to Iran and the money that was given back to Iran, and you know they directly fund the people who just attacked Israel, how could you turn around and vote for that again? I don't get it.
65% of Jewish voters, according to this Pew Research poll, are, I guess, planning to support Kamala Harris.
When, which is a lot lower than 100%.
Well, that's true.
When you put together a commission to combat anti-Semitism and you put CARE on the commission, which is provided material support to terrorism and is linked to Islamist organizations, I think American Jews have to look in the mirror. I mean, look, the reality is if we keep on the path that we're on, within 10 years, we're going to have a major Islamist political party in the United States. The only question is will it be the Democratic Party or will it be an offshoot of the Democratic Party?
Yeah. Yeah, you can see it move in that direction. And CARE, by the way, for people who aren't keeping up, is the Council on American Islamic Relations. Sort of like AIPAC, I guess you could say, which lobbies they lobby in the United States for causes they support, right?
But here's the deal about CARE is they pretend that they're a lobbying and, you know, outreach advocacy organization. The reality is CARE has been involved in actual material support to terrorist organizations.
Wow.
Actually raising money and sending it to terrorist organizations, to terrorist activities, taking that money, sending it in the United States to do this. And if you look, if you run the wiring diagram of all the people who've moved all the money around to get Islamist organizations on campuses and to push for these protests against Israel and the violence on campuses and the communities, it's all from people that were affiliated with CARE. I mean, what they've done is they've gotten smarter about this. And what they've done is they've stopped affiliating with the formal organizations, and they just do that when, like, there's no, it's not an NGO or anything. It's just people moving money around. But it is all from the root of the same poison tree. CARE is an organization which is either going to destroy America or transform America. That is their goal. So that's not AIPAC.
You know, this
that's
week
not the NRA.
I didn't mean to draw that.
Of Liberty. They ain't close to anything like that.
I didn't try to draw that direct comparison, right? Because obviously I support what AIPAC is doing. I didn't mean it that way. I just wanted people to understand what CARE was.
Part of a criminal conspiracy.
Right.
Yeah, right. The council, which sounds, what's wrong? It's a council. They want to work on Islamic American relations. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that is they are an organized political network that is working against the interests of the United States. And so if you didn't like the Communist Party being in the 1930s and 40s being an absolute tool of the Soviet government, then you're not going to like it.
Yeah, well, it's true. Jim, we're about out of time, my friend. Have a great weekend. I appreciate your time.
All right, thanks, buddy. You guys are the best.
You're the best. All right, thank you. Jim Carafano there at the Heritage Foundation. Always great to get him on. Coming up, we're going to get to Senator, former Senator Bob Onder, obviously running for Congress now in CD3 for the Republican candidate. I'm interested in his take on what's going on up there with this continuing resolution and the SAVE Act, right, which says illegals should not be able to register to vote in the United States. We'll be right back. So we are, I don't know, what, T-minus 16, 17 days from a government shutdown. Are you nervous? Last time the government shut down, nobody noticed. Lights stayed on. But it is a cliff that, for some reason, the Republicans always get blamed for because they support spending less than the Democrats. And the Democrats are happy to just go on spending like drunken sailors. And so, unfortunately, are a lot of Republican members of Congress who are willing to let this stuff happen. Right now, there's a continuing resolution that's being considered. And what's going to happen with it? Are we going to stick to our guns and hold their feet to the fire? Probably not. I wanted to invite former Senator Bob Onder, obviously the current Republican candidate for the 3rd Congressional District, to join us this morning. Bob, how are you?
Good morning, Mark. Great to be back.
We need your common sense voice up there in Washington trying to convince Mike Johnson to stick to his guns here.
Well, I appreciate that, Mark. Yeah, you're right. The issue before the U.S. House right now is the continuing resolution that Speaker Johnson supports. He had planned to bring to the floor yesterday, but then pulled that back when he was concerned he didn't have enough votes to pass it. And the continuing resolution would be a spending measure that would continue the funding of the government for another 6 months outside of what we call regular order, where the Congress passes 12 separate spending bills like we used to do every year in Jeff City while I was there. And, so that's not good. That's not good that we're funding that that we might fund the government by continuing resolution and to unfortunately spend too much. At the same time, Speaker Johnson, at the urging of President Trump, included the SAVE Act in the in that continuing resolution. And the SAVE Act, of course, is a very, very good thing. Now, you hear the Democrats over and over again saying it's already illegal for aliens to vote in in federal elections. But yes, on paper, that's true. But whenever states actually try to require proof of citizenship, the Merrick Garland, Kamala Harris, Joe Biden Justice Department brings them to court and fights to stop them. So we need this common sense election integrity measure.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope so. I mean, when it got voted on, even a few Democrats crossed over and voted for it. They see the common sense in it.
Right.
Let's put Chuck Schumer's feet to the fire and make him vote against requiring it be citizens only voting in the United States.
That's right. In the vote a couple of weeks ago, five Democrats crossed the aisle. All Republicans voted for it. And 70% of Americans, including about half of all Democrats, support a requiring proof of citizenship to vote. It makes no sense unless you're the Democrat Party with an insatiable lust for power and you want to cheat in order to win elections. And that's really what the Democrat opposition, the Kamala Harris opposition, is all about.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I wanted to get your reaction to what happened with Amendment 3, because I have to admit, I was a little surprised. I just really thought the Supreme Court might vote to keep it off the ballot in November. It played out, though, the way that Mark anticipated it. What was your reaction to what happened?
Yeah, Kim, of course, that was extremely disappointing. What we have here in Missouri, unfortunately, and what is supposedly a deep red state, is a system that's rigged against common sense and against conservatives. We, on the one hand, have this wide open initiative petition process, which the legislature failed to reform back this year during regular session, and failed to reform, by the way, during the 5 years in a row that I filed initiative petition reform when I was in the Missouri Senate. Senate leadership was always dead set against doing it to kowtow to a handful of special interests. But, you know, that aside, then the question is, what do you allow onto the ballot through this initiative petition process, and what should the language be? And there is a clear constitutional requirement that the language fairly describe what in existing law is being repealed, and of course requires a single subject requirement. Well, just listen to the way the proponents of Amendment 3, which is a radical abortion amendment, listen to the way they're promoting it. You know, IVF, reproductive health care, birth control pill, right to get miscarriages treated properly, and so on and so on. It is clear it violates single subject. Clearly, it's deceptive on its face. It is about abortion on demand in all 9 months of pregnancy without any health and safety regulations, any parental consent or notification, any ban on partial birth abortion, any informed consent requirements. That's what it's about. So the Missouri Supreme Court got it wrong, but I wasn't surprised, because, again, another way the system in Missouri is rigged against conservatives is that we have a very liberal appellate judge selection system. So you appoint liberal judges and you end up with liberal verdicts.
And yeah, exactly. I like Kim said, I called that one because I'm like, this is the same court that had an opportunity to shut down Kim Gardner with all of the ethics violations and everything she was accused of, and instead they just slapped her on the wrist and let her keep her law license. I mean, I knew when that happened, right?
Yeah, Mark, and the examples abound. Just a few years back, that same Supreme Court ruled that the Missouri legislature had to fund Planned Parenthood, that we couldn't defund Planned Parenthood in the budget, that we struck down my law to attempt to reform the government union system that holds a monopoly over too many areas of government, including public education. Time and again, this court has given us liberal outcomes.
Well, I mean, all we can do is keep fighting. I don't, you know, how is your race going right now? I know you're traveling back and forth across the district.
My race is going great. You know, we in your listening area, we won on primary day by 30-40% everywhere. Didn't do quite so well in central Missouri. So we're spending a lot of time in Columbia and Jefferson City and other areas in central Missouri. It's going well. I think, you know, if you look at my opponent's website, she is unapologetically with the Biden-Harris socialistic agenda with abortion on demand, with infringing upon our Second Amendment rights, with socialized medicine. So I think it's a clear contrast, and I think we will do very well on Election Day.
Well, Bob, you're welcome back anytime. Keep up the good fight.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Kim.
Yep. Talk to you soon. Congressional
Have a great
candidate.
Day.
Yeah, you bet. Bob Onder, they're running in Congressional District 3. So
he's going to get elected, and I'm really pumped about it.
I am, too. It's going to be a nice change, in CD3, because he was a strong voice for conservative principles when he was in Jeff City. And I don't know. I liked Blaine Lutkemeyer personally. In a lot of ways, he was weak on some of those issues, I always felt. And the fact that he endorsed Kurt Schaefer for that position, I don't know. I think that said a lot. I'm glad Bob won, and I'm glad to see him running out there in CD3, and hopefully he'll soon be sitting in Congress. Coming up, it is Kim on a Whim. What are we? Are we talking about that poll?
Yeah. In some ways, this is a surprising poll. It's talking about people from different religious groups and how they're voting. Are they backing Trump or backing Kamala Harris? Some of it you'd expect, but I'm telling you, there's one group in particular that I really am scratching my head at this morning.
Yeah, maybe a couple, in my opinion. We're going to talk about that coming up in just a minute.
Kim on a Whim.
Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
To steal, it's wrong to hurt someone. You can know wrong from right without religion.
So that was a message that was left on our listener line on the Odyssey app. You can do the same thing. And that was in reference to a conversation we were having this morning about this new Pew Research Center poll that's talking about how different religious groups are voting for the presidential race, Trump or Harris. And I found some of the results of this poll really disappointing, and in some cases, shocking.
Yeah.
I'll use that word, okay? So here's kind of the breakdown just to give you an idea. So when it comes to support for Trump, it says 82% of white evangelical Protestants supporting Trump, 61% of white Catholics, 58% of white non-evangelical Protestants. I would think that would be higher. If you're a Christian, I don't understand how your values don't align with Trump. Now, I don't support everything Trump stands for. Like, I think that he's been soft on abortion. I am very pro-life, and that makes me angry that he's kind of bent the knee to people on that issue. But he is the absolute right pick when it comes to that issue, because the alternative is abortion, basically, full term.
Right.
When it comes to support for Kamala Harris, according to this poll, 86% of black Protestants, 85% of atheists, not surprising, 78% of agnostics, 65% of Hispanic Catholics. And here's the one that really has me scratching my head. 65% of Jewish voters, according to this poll, are supporting Kamala Harris. Riddle me that.
I can't. I'm so frustrated by it. When you look at the headlines today, unless you are just completely ignorant of what's going on in the world around you, I do not understand how you could walk into a booth as a Jewish person and pull the lever for Kamala Harris.
This poll,
is it out of some kind of guilt or something? I mean, beyond that, I can't figure it out, because nothing she's done supports your homeland. None of the policies of the Biden-Harris administration have done anything but hurt Israel. And now, in the middle of a war, we're over there interfering with their ability to protect themselves.
Right. My response to that would be that a lot of people call themselves Christian and they do not follow any of the tenets of it. And I put the responsibility, some of the responsibility, on pastors and priests.
So we are, I don't know, what, T-minus 16, 17 days from a government shutdown. Are you nervous? Last time the government shut down, nobody noticed. Light stayed on. But it is a cliff that, for some reason, the Republicans always get blamed for, because they support spending less than the Democrats. And the Democrats are happy to just go on spending like drunken sailors. And so, unfortunately, are a lot of Republican members of Congress who are willing to let this stuff happen. Right now, there's a continuing resolution that's being considered. And what's going to happen with it? Are we going to stick to our guns and hold their feet to the fire? Probably not. I wanted to invite former Senator Bob Onder, obviously the current Republican candidate for the 3rd Congressional District, to join us this morning. Bob, how are you?
Good morning, Mark. Great to be back.
We need your common sense voice up there in Washington trying to convince Mike Johnson to stick to his guns here.
Well, I appreciate that, Mark. Yeah, you're right. The issue before the U.S. House right now is the continuing resolution that Speaker Johnson supports. He had planned to bring to the floor yesterday, but then pulled that back when he was concerned he didn't have enough votes to pass it. And the continuing resolution would be a spending measure that would continue the funding of the government for another 6 months outside of what we call regular order, where where the Congress passes 12 separate spending bills like we used to do every year in Jeff City while I was there. And, you know, and so that's not good. That's not good that we're funding that that we might fund the government by continuing resolution and to unfortunately spend too much. At the same time, Speaker Johnson, at the urging of President Trump, included the SAVE Act in the in that continuing resolution. And the SAVE Act, of course, is a very, very good thing. Now, you hear the Democrats over and over again saying it's already illegal for aliens to vote in federal elections. But yes, on paper, that's true. But whenever states actually try to require proof of citizenship, the Merrick Garland, Kamala Harris, Joe Biden Justice Department brings them to court and fights to stop them. So we need this common sense election integrity measure.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope so. I mean, when it got voted on, even a few Democrats crossed over and voted for it. They see the common sense in it.
Right.
Let's put Chuck Schumer's feet to the fire and make him vote against requiring it be citizens only voting in the United States.
That's right. In the vote a couple of weeks ago, five Democrats crossed the aisle. All Republicans voted for it. And 70% of Americans, including about half of all Democrats, support a requiring proof of citizenship to vote. It makes no sense unless you're the Democrat Party with an insatiable lust for power and you want to cheat in order to win elections. And that's really what the Democrat opposition, the Kamala Harris opposition, is all about.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I wanted to get your reaction to what happened with Amendment 3, because I have to admit, I was a little surprised. I just really thought the Supreme Court might vote to keep it off the ballot in November. It played out, though, the way that Mark anticipated it. What was your reaction to what happened?
Yeah, Kim, of course, that was extremely disappointing. What we have here in Missouri, unfortunately, and what is supposedly a deep red state, is a system that's rigged against common sense and against conservatives. We, on the one hand, have this wide open initiative petition process, which the legislature failed to reform back this year during regular session, and failed to reform, by the way, during the 5 years in a row that I filed initiative petition reform when I was in the Missouri Senate. Senate leadership was always dead set against doing it to kowtow to a handful of special interests. But, you know, that aside, then the question is, what do you allow onto the ballot through this initiative petition process, and what should the language be? And there is a clear constitutional requirement that the language fairly describe what an existing law is being repealed, and of course requires a single subject requirement. Well, just listen to the way the proponents of Amendment 3, which is a radical abortion amendment, listen to the way they're promoting it. You know, IVF, reproductive health care, birth control pill, right to get miscarriages treated properly, and so on and so on. It is clear it violates single subject. Clearly, it's deceptive on its face. It is about abortion on demand in all 9 months of pregnancy without any health and safety regulations, any parental consent or notification, any ban on partial birth abortion, any informed consent requirements. That's what it's about. So the Missouri Supreme Court got it wrong, but I wasn't surprised because, again, another way the system in Missouri is rigged against conservatives. conservatives is that we have a very liberal appellate judge selection system. So you appoint liberal judges and you end up with liberal verdicts.
And yeah, exactly. I like Kim said, I called that one because I'm like, this is the same court that had an opportunity to shut down Kim Gardner with all of the ethics violations and everything she was accused of, and instead they just slapped her on the wrist and let her keep her law license. I mean, I knew when that happened, right?
Yeah, Mark, and the examples abound. Just a few years back, that same Supreme Court ruled that the Missouri legislature had to fund Planned Parenthood, that we couldn't defund Planned Parenthood in the budget, that we struck down my law to attempt to reform the government union system that holds a monopoly over too many areas of government, including public education. Time and again, this court has given us liberal outcomes.
Well, I mean, all we can do is keep fighting. I don't, you know, how is your race going right now? I know you're traveling back and forth across the district.
My race is going great. You know, we in your listening area, we won on primary day by 30% to 40% everywhere. Didn't do quite so well in central Missouri. So we're spending a lot of time in Columbia and Jefferson City and other areas in central Missouri. It's going well. I think if you look at my opponent's website, she is unapologetically with the Biden-Harris socialistic agenda, with abortion on demand, with infringing upon our Second Amendment rights, with socialized medicine. So I think it's a clear contrast, and I think we will do very well on Election Day.
Well, Bob, you're welcome back anytime. Keep up the good fight.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Kim.
Yep. Talk to you soon. Congressional
Have a great
candidate.
Day.
Yeah, you bet. Bob Onder, they're running in Congressional District 3. So
he's going to get elected, and I'm really pumped about it.
I am, too. It's going to be a nice change, in CD3, because he was a strong voice for conservative principles when he was in Jeff City. And I don't know. I liked Blaine Lutkemeyer personally. In a lot of ways, he was weak on some of those issues, I always felt. And the fact that he endorsed Kurt Schaefer for that position, I don't know. I think that said a lot. I'm glad Bob won, and I'm glad to see him running out there in CD3, and hopefully he'll soon be sitting in Congress. Coming up, it is Kim on a Whim. What are we? Are we talking about that poll?
Yeah. In some ways, this is a surprising poll. It's talking about people from different religious groups and how they're voting. Are they backing Trump or backing Kamala Harris? Some of it you'd expect, but I'm telling you, there's one group in particular that I really am scratching my head at this morning.
Yeah, maybe a couple, in my opinion. We're going to talk about that coming up in just a minute.
Kim on a Whim.
Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
Wrong to steal, it's wrong to hurt someone. You can know wrong from right without religion.
So that was a message that was left on our listener line on the Odyssey app. You can do the same thing. And that was in reference to a conversation we were having this morning about this new Pew Research Center poll that's talking about how different religious groups are voting for the presidential race, Trump or Harris. And I found some of the results of this poll really disappointing, and in some cases shocking.
Yeah.
I'll use that word. Okay, so here's kind of the breakdown, just to give you an idea. So when it comes to support for Trump, it says 82% of white evangelical Protestants supporting Trump, 61% of white Catholics, 58% of white non-evangelical Protestants. I would think that would be higher. If you're a Christian, I don't understand how your values don't align with Trump. Now, I don't support everything Trump stands for. Like, I think that he's been soft on abortion. I am very pro-life, and that makes me angry that he's kind of bent the knee to people on that issue. But he is the absolute right pick when it comes to that issue, because the alternative is abortion, basically, full term.
Right.
When it comes to support for Kamala Harris, according to this poll, 86% of black Protestants, 85% of atheists, not surprising, 78% of agnostics, 65% of Hispanic Catholics. And here's the one that really has me scratching my head. 65% of Jewish voters, according to this poll, are supporting Kamala Harris. Riddle me that.
I'm so frustrated by it. When you look at the headlines today, unless you are just completely ignorant of what's going on in the world around you, I do not understand how you could walk into a booth as a Jewish person and pull the lever for Kamala Harris.
This poll,
is it out of some kind of guilt or something? I mean, beyond that, I can't figure it out, because nothing she's done supports your homeland. None of the policies of the Biden-Harris administration have done anything but hurt Israel. And now, in the middle of a war, we're over there interfering with their ability to protect themselves.
Right. My response to that would be that a lot of people call themselves Christian and they do not follow any of the tenets of it. And I put the responsibility, some of the responsibility, on pastors and priests. They are too scared, is the only word I can think of. They're cowards when it comes to speaking from the pulpit what needs to be said. I'm tired of people not willing to go there and be unequivocally pro-life. You should have no problem as a pastor or a priest getting up there every single Sunday and talking to churchgoers saying,
yes,
you need to be pro-life. We do not support abortion. I don't understand that. And so I shouldn't say so few of them. There are quite a number of them, more than there should be, who do not do that.
And the more people, Kim, just if I can just pop in here, the more people want to call in here and complain or mention it on Facebook that, well, they're not supposed to get political. The pastors aren't supposed to get political. It's not about getting political. That we're not asking the pastor to stand up and say, vote for candidate A or vote for candidate B. You stand up and you preach that the church is against aborting babies, against killing innocent life. Vote accordingly. You don't have to endorse one candidate or another. You have to follow your principles.
And that's not politics, guys. It falls under that umbrella, but that's biblical. Immigration, that actually is biblical. These are not just you. I'm so tired of that argument that is just political talk and you shouldn't have that from the pulpit. Nonsense. Do not listen to that. According to this poll, 6 in 10 of the registered voters in every religious group say the economy will be a very important, I guess, component in their voting decision. They also say the same thing about health care. Now, some people call health care abortion. The Supreme Court appointments and foreign policy are also, they say, going to be really key in their decision.
I hope. You know, and to the caller earlier who called in, I had pointed out that the vast majority of people who consider themselves atheist are supporting who? Would that be
Kamala Harris?
Kamala Harris,
right? And the agnostics. Do we have? We had another one. Do we have time to play that one? I can't remember how long that one audio message was from a gentleman who was talking about this topic.
Yeah, Ethan's
Good morning,
looking.
Mark, Gary here again. I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. I think we need to ban the term or the phrase government funding.
Oh, I think, okay, yeah, that was a different one. But he was, this other gentleman was, and thank you for your comment, by the way. This other man was just talking about how he thinks that you can chalk a lot of it up to how people are just uneducated. And you're probably right. Again, you call yourself Christian. I'm not trying, I want to be very cautious about this. I'm not trying to shame anybody, but if you've never read the Bible, I mean, if you read the Bible, it's just very clear. And that makes me sad. This poll finds that there's still a slim majority of the Catholics who are voting for Trump. But the fact that it's only a slim majority is just mind-blowing. It should be an overwhelming majority. 100%.
Hinging on, if nothing else, just the idea of the abortion issue, plain and simple. I would agree with that 100%. You can leave your comments on the comment line as well. Coming up, we're going to talk more about the Venezuelan gangs taking over some cities.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Kim on a whim.
Kim on a whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
To steal, it's wrong to hurt someone. You can know wrong from right without religion.
So that was a message that was left on our listener line on the Odyssey app. You can do the same thing. And that was in reference to a conversation we were having this morning about this new Pew Research Center poll that's talking about how different religious groups are voting for the presidential race. Trump or Harris. And I found some of the results of this poll really disappointing. And in some cases, shocking. Yeah. I'll use that word, okay? So here's kind of the breakdown just to give you an idea. So when it comes to support for Trump, it says 82% of white evangelical Protestants supporting Trump, 61% of white Catholics, 58% of white non-evangelical Protestants. I would think that would be higher. If you're a Christian, I don't understand how your values don't align with Trump. Now, I don't support everything Trump stands for. Like, I think that he's been soft on abortion. I am very pro-life, and that makes me angry that he's kind of bent the knee to people on that issue. But he is the absolute right pick when it comes to that issue, because the alternative is abortion, basically, full term.
Right.
When it comes to support for Kamala Harris, according to this poll, 86% of black Protestants, 85% of atheists, not surprising, 78% of agnostics, 65% of Hispanic Catholics. And here's the one that really has me scratching my head. 65% of Jewish voters, according to this poll, are supporting Kamala Harris. Riddle me that.
I can't. I'm so frustrated by it. When you look at the headlines today, unless you are just completely ignorant of what's going on in the world around you, I do not understand how you could walk into a booth as a Jewish person and pull the lever for Kamala Harris.
This poll,
is it out of some kind of guilt or something? I mean, beyond that, I can't figure it out, because nothing she's done supports your homeland. None of the policies of the Biden-Harris administration have done anything but hurt Israel. And now, in the middle of a war, we're over there interfering with their ability to protect themselves.
Right. My response to that would be that a lot of people call themselves Christian and they do not follow any of the tenets of it. And I put the responsibility, some of the responsibility, on pastors and priests. They are too scared is the only word I can think of. They're cowards when it comes to speaking from the pulpit what needs to be said. I'm tired of people not willing to go there and be unequivocally pro-life. You should have no problem as a pastor or a priest getting up there every single Sunday and talking to churchgoers saying,
yes,
you need to be pro-life. We do not support abortion. I don't understand that. And so I shouldn't say so few of them. There are quite a number of them, more than there should be, who do not do that.
And the more people, Kim, just if I can just pop in here, the more people want to call in here and complain or mention it on Facebook that, well, they're not supposed to get political, the pastors aren't supposed to get political, it's not about getting political. That we're not asking the pastor to stand up and say, vote for candidate A or vote for candidate B. You stand up and you preach that the church is against aborting babies, against killing innocent life. Vote accordingly. You don't have to endorse one candidate or another. You have to follow your principles.
And that's not politics, guys. It falls under that umbrella, but that's biblical. Immigration, that actually is biblical. These are not just, I'm so tired of that argument that is just political talk and you shouldn't have that from the pulpit. Nonsense. Do not listen to that. According to this poll, 6 in 10 of the registered voters in every religious group say the economy will be a very important, I guess, component in their voting decision. They also say the same thing about health care. Now, some people call health care abortion. The Supreme Court appointments and foreign policy are also, they say, going to be really key in their decision.
I hope. You know, and to the caller earlier who called in, I had pointed out that the vast majority of people who consider themselves atheist are supporting who? Would that be
Kamala Harris?
Kamala Harris,
right? And the agnostics. We had another one. Do we have time to play that one? I can't remember how long that one audio message was from a gentleman who was talking about this topic.
Yeah, Ethan's
morning,
looking.
Mark, Gary here again. I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. I think we need to ban the term or the phrase "government funding."
Oh, I think, okay, that must have been, that was a different one. But he was, this other gentleman was, and thank you for your comment, by the way. This other man was just talking about how he thinks that you can chalk a lot of it up to how people are just uneducated. And you're probably right. Again, you call yourself Christian. I'm not trying, I want to be very cautious about this. I'm not trying to shame anybody, but if you've never read the Bible, I mean, if you read the Bible, it's just very clear. And that makes me sad. This poll finds that there's still a slim majority of the Catholics who are voting for Trump, but the fact that it's only a slim majority is just mind-blowing. It should be an overwhelming majority, 100%.
hinging on if nothing else, just the idea of the abortion issue, plain and simple. I would agree with that 100%. You can leave your comments on the comment line as well. Coming up, we're going to talk more about the Venezuelan gangs taking over some cities.
Get more at 971talk.com.